Well, how many times have you either said yourself or heard somebody saying, on some level, we're all interconnected? I mean, it's a common belief that we have, and what these different series of studies are doing is showing, yes, we really are interconnected, and even starting to get to some of the mechanisms that really bring some deep science to it. So then that really does serve to help more and more people, I believe, and I hope, certainly give hope, but also wake up a little more to our own responsibility for what we're feeding the field.
Hello, everyone. I'm Deborah Rosman, and a warm welcome to our listeners. Each month for the At Heart podcast, I have the privilege of interviewing individuals who are contributing to the creation of a more heart-based world. This month, I'm interviewing Roland McCready, Director of Research at HeartMath, to talk about the heart's energy field. This is the third podcast in our series of how the heart can go viral on the planet. Roland has been the lead research pioneer on the heart's impact on our health and well-being, and his research with the HeartMath Institute's Global Coherence Initiative and Global Consciousness Project 2.0 are exploring humanity's interconnectedness with each other and with the Earth's energetic fields, and the significance of love and compassion on the fields, and how the field can enable heart to go viral and the benefits to humanity. So I'm excited about this podcast. Welcome, Roland.
Thank you, Debbie. It's great to be here.
Well, in our last two podcasts on the heart, Howard Martin and Owen Ward talked about how both HeartMath companies' mission has always been about providing research, tools, techniques, and programs to create a more heart-intelligent and heart-based world, and how there is actually keeping note of a real heart momentum building across the planet. And in our last podcast, Kyle and Leia talked about how their 30-day heart coherence challenges are a rapidly growing momentum. As people and leaders come together, are called together, drawn together in heart coherence, and how heart coherence is needed for the heart to really have a baseline and go viral on the planet. And I know they'll be working with you during the next 30-day challenge. You're doing a citizen science research project that will encourage people to measure and increase heart coherence. Tell us about this. How are you planning to research the impact of this?
Okay. Well, that with the 30-day heart coherence challenge, it's kind of just magical in a way, I guess you could say, how the timing worked out for when Kyle and Leo were planning to do the next one, that it's ending around the same time as we're having our annual GCI or Global Coherence Initiative event that we've been doing every year for, I don't know, 12, 13 years now. I've lost track. This year it's going to be in person in Santa Cruz, and also with a virtual hybrid event. So the people who can't come in person can also attend virtually. And being the 30-day challenge worked out, well, I've got to kind of tell you some stories here to make this all make sense, Debbie, if that's okay. But
sure.
One of the things they asked if we could do was add a research component. And so we are, and I'm actually kind of excited about it. And on the event is May 16 through 19. And on the Saturday, that's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, basically. And on Saturday, we're organizing a time where all of the attendees, both virtual and in person, but also inviting the 40, 50,000 people who will be participating in the 30-day heart coherence challenge to also show up and participate that Saturday at a specific time. It's actually going to be 12:15 for anybody that might want to hear this and join. And a lot of other aligned groups and communities are also being invited to come in at that time, like the Global Coherence Pulse community and other groups around the world. And we're going to be doing a 15-minute heart-focused meditation to add love and compassion to the planetary energetic field, with the intention of helping to increase the baseline consciousness of humanity. And then we'll be measuring the, hopefully we'll see an effect, and I'm confident we will, actually, with the new global Global Consciousness Project 2.0. We have too many global projects these days to keep them all straight in my head. And for those that aren't familiar with that, the GCP-1, as we now lovingly refer to it, was started probably close to 27 years ago now at Princeton. And it's a, I think of it, Debbie, as a kind of a really neat, globally distributed scientific instrument. And it's a network of what are called random number generators. And that sounds kind of funny to a lot of people, but the way to think of a RNG or a random number generator is as an electronic coin flipper, right? So we know if we flip a coin 100 times or 1,000 times, on average, you're going to get 50 heads, 50 tails, right? However, while you're doing that, if you've ever tried it, I actually have, you can get, I don't know, 5, 10, sometimes heads in a row or tails in a row. So that's what a random number generator is doing. They just do it really fast. And instead of heads or tails, it's ones or zeros. Now, to give a little more background here, Dr. Roger Nelson, who started the original GCP project, had done a lot of work at the what's called the Pear Lab, is what it was called, at Princeton. And they were doing all kinds of fun experiments and neat stuff to show that our consciousness and our intentions can interact with and affect in measurable ways the physical world. And one of the tools they were using that was very successful for them were these random number generators, where people had, you know, they would bring in meditators and this and all kinds of experiments to see if you could intentionally cause them to make more heads or tails or zero or ones or zeros in this case. And they found that, it, sure enough, you could. So that led to the idea that Dr. Nelson had of, well, I wonder if we could put these things around the world and connect them, time synchronize them, and measure a global type of consciousness. So that was the genesis of GCP-1. And, you know, 20-some years later, 25 years later, that is in fact the case. He's shown, in fact, the statistics now on GCP-1 are over a trillion to one odds against chance that this is a real measurable effect. So it, when events that, like a tragedy, for example, earthquakes or terrorist attacks, these kinds of things, these kinds of events have been looked at, and they do cause, I need to explain too what happens in the network, but they cause an effect to be measured. But he also looked, and my favorite thing that Roger did was he had 500 what he called formal events, and that just means they were pre-registered publicly that here's what we're going to do and how we're going to analyze it and so on before the experiment took place. Very, very rigorous science, actually. But after that was done, he looked back across those 500 events, and they were then rated for the level or amount of love and compassion that was involved in that event. So like Global Earth Day, for example, or these types of organized meditations where you've got a lot of people around the world are either praying or meditating for peace or adding love and compassion and so on. That was the high category for love and compassion. Then he had a medium category or a middle category. And this was things like Super Bowls and World Cups, big events, a lot of people involved and a lot of emotion, because we know that emotion is critical to moving the dial on this, but not a lot of love and compassion. And then a low category, that was things, how people get triggered and the feelings that you have after, school shootings and terrorist attacks and these things that rise to the level of global attention. And what he found was that the events that evoke love and compassion have a significantly greater impact on creating what we call the coherence in the network. Now, what that means is, so if you think of these hundreds of devices all around the planet, thousands of miles apart in many cases, what actually happens is it's not that they go out of being random, but they start in a correlated way flipping ones, or in this case zeros, or ones at the same time in these patterns. So that's why we can truly say that it's a way of measuring a type of global consciousness or an effect of what we, that somehow when enough of us here on the planet are paying attention to something and have a similar emotion evoked, that it creates a wave in a field of global consciousness is how we're starting to think about it. I used to talk about that as a metaphor, waves in a global consciousness field. One of our collaborators now is doing some very unique and very creative. She's like a really smart woman. Analysis, and it's looking like that may not be a metaphor after all, that we may really be able to look at this as a global consciousness field with waves that are occurring in it. So we can kind of think of it like we're pulsing the field and creating more coherent rhythms and waves in that global consciousness field.
This is very important, I think. You know, two things come to mind when you shared: ones and zeros. I mean, that's what computers are based on. And quantum computing is all based upon how the consciousness interacts with the quantum field. And it's just, and people are just beginning to research all that. The field is such an interesting concept in itself. You know, I hear people talk about, we're going to change the world one person at a time or one heart at a time. And like, I think, well, that's 8 billion hearts. That's going to take a long time. But in the field where there's distribution across the planet simultaneously, it sounds like we're onto something that maybe could help humanity as a whole lift, which would be key to how the heart could even go viral, would have to have some kind of a multiplier or field effect. You know, how can this energetic field and the research you've done, not just on GCP2, but Global Coherence Initiative, the Global Coherence Monitoring System, all of this has been trying to understand the effect of the Earth's field and human consciousness. How do you see the field contributing to the heart going viral on the planet?
Well, if I'm honest, Debbie, I think it's absolutely critical. I mean, I look at it like there's two halves of the same coin. On the one half, we've really got to help people learn practical tools and techniques. And that's really what HeartMath has been about for so many years, is providing people simple tools and technologies to align more with their heart and their heart's intelligence, and really maintain their composure in the middle of the chaos that's going on around them, and so on. But the other half of that coin is the field environment. And so on the research side, we have, I like to think of it these days as multiple tools in our toolbox to really understand from a more rigorous scientific perspective, the field and the importance of the field and how we're contributing to it. So we know that we all live within the Earth's magnetic fields. Those are fields that we can measure, and that's what the Global Coherence Monitoring System is about. For those that aren't familiar with that, this is a global network of magnetometers, which are specifically designed to measure the rhythms and the resonant frequencies in the fields of the Earth that we all live in, like the geomagnetic field, you know, the North Pole, the South Pole, for example, that even if you're in a space station, you're within that field. And as it turns out, the magnetic field lines can be plucked like guitar strings. And what's plucking the strings of Earth, or the magnetic field of the Earth, is the solar wind rushing by. And just like on a, well, any stringed instrument, but a guitar, the length of the string and how the tension on it determines its resonant frequency or the note that it vibrates at. And it blew me away, Debbie, when I, and this stuff had been sort of known independently in silos, but nobody ever put the dots together, that one of the primary resonant frequency, and they're actually called field line resonances, is the technical term, vibrating is the same frequency as the human heart rhythm when we're in a coherent state. And so this, it's blow away when you really stop and think about what this, the implications of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've all played with, well, hopefully played with tuning forks back in science class, right? Or seen demonstrations, you know. When you tap one tuning fork, another starts to vibrate without touching it. And that's what, technically what that's being, what that's a demo of is what's called resonant coupling, meaning that you can transfer energy and information between systems that vibrate at the same frequency.
So you know, what's fascinating here, I just want to take what you're saying, science, maybe a little down to the street a little bit more, that if our coherent heart rhythms are resonant with this, and it's our thoughts and emotions that create our coherent heart rhythms when we're aligned or when we're feeling love or compassion, just connecting the dots there of what we're putting into the field, since our thoughts and emotions and our heart rhythms energetically are affecting the field, then it becomes like one of our trainers said, questioning ourselves, what are we feeding the field? And becoming more conscious that our coherence or incoherence, our stress or our love is really impacting this field and what we can do about it. I just thought it's important to intersect that practicality at this point.
Well, exactly. That's exactly where I was leading to. The fact that we are the same frequency, our hearts and that of the field, means that it's a two-way system that we live in. Clearly, we're affected by the field, but we're also feeding information into the field. So it's like, I technically call it, a global information field, and that we're all feeding information into that field. Now, when we come together, like we're going to do with the experiment we started talking about, and mm-hmm. other experiments have already shown, when people come together, and especially when they're in a heart coherent state, with a shared intention, there's an amplification effect. It's not 1 + 1 = 2, right? It's a nonlinear amplification. So when we come together in heart coherence, and are adding, especially if we're adding more love and compassion, that those frequencies into the field, or both our local field, which is coupled to the larger planetary field, we're pulsing the planetary field with those higher frequency vibrations. And all other living systems in the field, not just people, trees, animals, nature, all is influenced and uplifted by those frequencies that we're adding to the field. And that helps others who might be on the bubble, so to speak. You know, they're on this beginning to wake up, to help them find their own inner coherence and discover their own heart's intelligence. It gives a lift to that.
So this would be the science, the physics or math, whatever you call it, of how the heart could go viral, right? How it could lift consciousness rather than, like you said, 1 + 1 + 1 in some kind of other mathematical equation that could give us hope. Because you look what's happening in the world right now, and we all look at the polarization, the lack of civility that's going on, even among young people who look at the world and don't see a future for themselves, whether it's climate change or economy. And now we're right now in an election year where there's promising to be even more polarization and stress and negative energy. It's become super important to know that as some of us and more of us and more of us get into this heart coherence and actually feed the field with intentional patience, care, kindness, compassion, love, all the qualities of the heart that are associated and get us into this heart coherent rhythm, that we really can manage our energies more and collectively help each other amplify that effect, we can make a difference. And I think that's so important to underline, and so happy you're researching this and publishing research so that more people not only try it, believe it, but actually see evidence of it. I think that is absolutely essential for renewing hope at this time. Can you say more about what you're seeing?
Well, no, I would agree with that. You know, and for a lot of people out there, you know, well, let me say it this way, Debbie. One of the things that I hear most from the non-scientific community, you know, when I do different presentations and things, is thank you for confirming scientifically what I already knew or believed to be true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they say this gives me a lot more confidence, you know, in my own inner beliefs and what I've really believed all along, so that it then helps motivate people to be kinder, to be more compassionate, these types of things in their own lives once they, and I know a few people, this has made it a tremendous difference in their lives once they saw the science. It gave them that extra kick or that extra motivation to be more meaningful about their practices and realizing that, wow, what I'm feeding the field really does matter, and it matters in measurable ways, in ways that we're showing now that affect the physical world. So I think as more and more people start to really understand this, in fact, that's why we're doing all the science, is to really help people understand these, how true when we talk about, well, how many times have you heard, let me ask it you this way, either said yourself or said or heard somebody saying, on some level, we're all interconnected. I mean, it's a common kind of belief that we have. What these different series of studies are doing is showing, yes, we really are interconnected, and even starting to get to some of the mechanisms that really bring some deep science to it. So then that really does serve to help more and more people, I believe, and I hope, certainly give hope, but also wake up a little more to our own responsibility for what we're feeding the field.
That's right. Managing our energies, realizing we do have an impact. We're creating whatever and co-creating what's going on in the world, and we can do something about it. I think that's really, again, the mission of HeartMath and heart-based living is helping people understand that's going to improve your mind and brain and the planet, not just your heart. Because again, the coherence, heart-brain synchronization opens up higher cognitive functions we need for finding solutions to our problems that stress shuts down in survival mode. So as more of us understand this, and I know we're trying to help more understand, that's the purpose of the At Heart podcast, that we really can, by connecting at the heart level, taking more responsibility of shifting to these heart qualities and putting out compassion or love or forgiveness or kindness or anything that gets us into coherence, we can begin as a human race, learn to get along with each other, learn to see ourselves in each other if we're really interconnected. And like you said, people know somehow the heart has to be involved. So I'm inviting all our listeners. We're going to be doing a meditation on feeding the field with heart in a minute, but it's really time. The planet needs us to all go more to our heart and create that heart momentum to go viral.
Yeah. Can I add one more thing there?
Please. Karen?
Because we were talking a lot about the magnetic world here that we live in the Global Consciousness Project 2.0, which I was starting to explain earlier. Is Dr. Nelson came to us a few years ago and asked us to take over the project because he had retired. And I, to be honest, I didn't want to do it. I knew it was going to be a lot of work and take a lot of bandwidth, and finally agreed to it. And now a few years later, we've completely rebuilt that project from the ground up and brought a lot of high-level scientists into the project to ask new questions. And so we asked ourselves, well, what is this new network of devices, what do we have to do to ask these new questions? And one of a new hypothesis in GCP2 is this, and that is that a much smaller group of individuals who are highly heart coherent with a shared focused intention can have as large of an effect on affecting and modulating the global consciousness field as masses. So that's what GCP1 looked at. And I think it's such an important thing to really show scientifically. And the initial experiments that we're just really getting started, GCP2 is really just in its beginning stages, but it's already a large enough, the network's already many, many times greater than the original GCP1 was. And we're already seeing multiple examples of exactly this. In fact, I just saw some new data today from another series of experiments showing that a relatively small group, when they're in that coherent state, can have quite large effects on pulsing and modulating, adding coherence. We call it network coherence, in fact, into the global field environment. So I think that also gives a lot of hope. It doesn't take as many as we think to really stabilize and create and add and create more coherence into the planetary field environment, which really affects, you know, others and and as we're starting to see it, I mean, we're literally affecting the physical world in these experiments.
Well, that's taking the math of the heart to another level, isn't it? And combining science and spirit. So let's do this now. Let's all do it together. Let's all get heart coherent best we can and do a heart meditation on feeding the field with some heart energy and contribute to this global momentum of heart. So let's focus our attention on the heart. Just breathe in love and get still in your heart. As you breathe out, radiate heart energy first into your own mental, emotional, and physical system. And as you do this, see your heart, brain, nervous system all aligning in coherence and harmony. Now envision yourself radiating heart qualities like love, compassion, gratitude or appreciation or kindness, whichever one speaks to you right now, radiating them outside your physical body and into the field, into the energetic field. Beating the field with your love, care, compassion, heart. Continue heart-focused breathing, activating or feeling one of these heart qualities and radiating into the field. Know that you're doing this with many other people and that this collective heart energy can amplify. See it amplifying and circulating throughout the planet. Now, we also know from the research that coherent heart energy, synchronizing heart and brain, can make our own heart's intuitive guidance, our own heart intelligence, more accessible to us. So just be open to any promptings from your heart feelings, any heart promptings or intuitive suggestions that come to you. And they may come later. We just enjoy the peace of heart coherence. Now let's close by radiating and co-creating with each other's heart energy and heart intention, a reservoir of a heart field of energy that each of us can tap into over the next month when we feel stressed or need inspiration or support to connect more with our own heart. Listen to our own heart and follow through with our own heart's guidance. Let's create that heart pool or reservoir of energy, that intention. And know that each time you do a heart meditation, you can add coherent heart energy to the field, to the reservoir, by radiating your love or compassion, gratitude or appreciation intentionally into the field. Thank you for sharing that with me. And Roland, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, just thank you all for tuning in. And obviously, if you're here at this podcast, you're interested in the heart and the journey to heart-based living. So it's just my sincere appreciation for whatever level of engagement that you might have in that process. Thank you.
And again, just letting you know, the Love Unleashed event will be in May 16th through 19th, online or in person or live in resort in Santa Cruz. If you're interested, go to heartmath.org and learn more about it. And as a free gift to our listeners, you can watch the Interactive HeartMath Experience online video course and learn 5 HeartMath techniques, totally free. Learn about the research background at heartmath.com. And you can also check out the new HeartMath app in your app store. So there's lots of opportunities to learn more. And I want to remind you also that the third Tuesday of every month, we publish a new At Heart episode. So be sure you subscribe so you don't miss our next guest and topic. Thank you so much. And take care.
Thank you for listening to the At Heart podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you can catch the latest episodes. If you're wanting even more heart-inspired content, find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Look for HeartMath and also the HeartMath Institute. Both organizations are committed to helping activate the heart of humanity.